I'll never know why he came to save me. Still haven't figured that one out, other than his great love for each and every one of us. Why? Why did he love me that much that he went to the cross? Because I sure didn't do anything to grant to deserve it. But the one thing I did do was believe in him and came to understand that was through that faith that he promises to all who believe, one day I will be with him. So I don't need to understand it. I just have to accept it and continue to live the life according to as he wants me to live. For this morning, I'd like to continue in the Gospel of Luke. And we'll begin with verse in the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 21. And we'll read down through, we'll continue on through to verse 37. It's verse 21 of the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, and reading the words in Jesus' name. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things were delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou wilt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do thou likewise. Amen. Heavenly Father, these indeed are your words. And we pray, O God, that you would reveal them to us, and that you would give us a message of encouragement, and a message of hope, so that, Father, one day, or as time goes on, we would continue to believe and trust. We pray, Father, that you would continue to watch over us and protect us. Father, these words are your words. These words are true because you are truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 21 is when Jesus says that in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. He's still referring back to what we had read and talked about last week. And the 70 that went out, as we remember, they came back with joy, they were rejoicing, and they were saying that even the serpents and even the devils were subject unto us through your name. And that's the key. And that's the key to what Jesus is even saying here. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Hid what things? Hid the faith. The faith that those that he sent out were able to come back and were able to proclaim that message, that all things that they did were through the name of Christ. Not of themselves, not of anything that they could boast of. The same as we go out today, and everything that we do is through the name of Jesus. It's not through ourselves or what we have learned or what we have read or what we have studied, but it is by what Christ has given us. It is by what he has handed to us. And he says, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he whom the Son will reveal him. Jesus was constantly giving the glory to God. Constantly. He never took upon himself anything unless God gave it to him. He never tried to do anything unless God gave it to him. And it's a lesson for us today. There is nothing that we can do. There is no way that we can walk. There is nothing that happens that God is not involved. He indeed is our grace and our strength. And in the 23rd verse, and he says, he turned to his disciples and said privately. This was not uncommon. This was not uncommon that he would talk to his disciples, because his disciples were those who followed him. His disciples were those who he taught and was an example to. And there were a lot of times where he would speak to them so that they would understand personally what Jesus was doing. There was a large group of people that followed Jesus. He was not by himself, nor were the disciples by themselves. There were a large group of people that followed. But Jesus wanted to talk to his disciples alone, personally, because those were the ones that ultimately were going to extend his words after the day of Pentecost. Those were the ones who were going to start the missionary journeys. It's not to say that the others that followed him wouldn't do that. That's not the point. The point is that those who followed Christ were the ones that were going to start. They were the ones who were going to be given the gift of the Holy Spirit at first. They were the ones that were going to stand before the rulers of Israel and proclaim Christ's name. They were the ones that were going to tell the population that you crucified your Savior. And it was to them that those that they told that to felt the guilt and the shame. And in the second chapter of Acts said, what must we do to be saved? And they answered them, repent and believe. And that's what the same message goes out today to all of those who are causing the issues and the things that we see upon the earth even today, to those that are causing problems. I mentioned in prayer about Sri Lanka. I just found out, is it yesterday, I believe it was, that they're having an uprising there in the country. They stormed the palace, whoever was involved with it. And the president was actually put on a naval ship and taken away from the country. There's a lot of things going on in this world that we don't hear about so often, we don't know about. And the prayer should be that, God, oh, that you would open your heart to those who still do not know you, and which he does, he has. I'm not saying for a moment that he's shut them off, but he is continuing to open up and keep things open to all of those who will accept and believe. Because that's his ultimate goal, that all would be saved and that none would perish. So he turned to his disciples and he said, "Blessed are the eyes which see and the things that you see." The term blessed, have you ever thought of it? Have you ever really looked at that word and say, okay, what really does that mean? I didn't know. That's why I had to look it up. Very short and sweet, if you will. To be blessed is to be made holy and to be consecrated. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Your eyes are holy because that's the only way you're going to be able to see it. That's the only way we can see it, is by God's grace. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Well, guess what? That's us. That's us sitting here today. We are blessed. We are blessed so that we can see what Christ has done. We know what he has done. He goes on, he says, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." If we take those words just as they are written, one might think that he's talking about unbelievers. But that's not what he's saying at all. And that's not who that message is given. What he is saying, that those who came before, because remember now, they're still under the law. Christ has not died yet. Christ has not gone to that cross and become that perfect sacrifice. So they were still under the law of Moses. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 8 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. "Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him yet not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." They had not actually received that through Christ yet, but they still believed. And that's why Jesus was telling his disciples, the things that I'm telling you now, the things that I'm revealing to you, the things that I'm opening up to you, the things that I'm instructing you with, the ones before you wanted to see that so desperately. They wanted to see it so much. They desired to see those things that you have seen and that you do see. And yet they desire to hear this message. But yet time was not right. The time had not yet come. But they were nevertheless still saved. They were saved because of God's promise to those who believe. They believed, but through the law. But they believed God was on his throne. And they did according to his will. Then there's a lawyer that stands up and attempts to tempt him. Surprise. "Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" He wanted to trap him, which through scripture we've seen that several different times. So what does Jesus say to him? And again, reiterating that they are still under the law. What is written in the law? How do you read it? How readest thou? And he answered exactly as he should have answered, as any well-educated Jewish person would. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said to him, that's right. You have answered right. This do, and you shall live. Verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? They're always trying to sneak something in there to try to entrap. The root Greek word for neighbor, or for neighbor, is nearby or close, is the meaning of it. So if a neighbor could be visualized or could be understood as being somebody that is close or nearby. Martin Luther has something that he wrote, and I felt it was worth copying down. And he says, our neighbor is any human being. Not a human being that agrees with us, or maybe a human being that has a little bit, no. Any human being, especially one who needs our help. As Christ interprets it in Luke 10:30-37, the Good Samaritan helping the one that had fallen among thieves, even one who has done me some sort of injury or harm does not stop being my neighbor. Is that something that's easy to do? Not for me. Somebody does harm to someone, it might be a little hard to show love and compassion towards them. It might be a little difficult. But that doesn't mean that we don't do it. Doing it grudgingly? Well, I don't know how much blessing there would be in that. But yet you're still obeying. You're still obeying what it is that God would have you to do. So the prayer should be, even at that moment, that Lord, take that away from me so that I may cheerfully help in whatever the need happens to be. And then we go on to the story of the rich man, and the one who fell among thieves, and the Good Samaritan, which is a story that we're very familiar with. But the one thing that touched me, or I began to understand, because Jesus used the term Samaritan, that lawyer must have just cringed. Because the bad feelings, and I'll be very polite here, but the bad feelings that the Jews had towards the Samaritans and vice versa were very difficult to overcome. And some of the things that I have read about how they felt about them weren't very nice. And yet Jesus uses the Samaritan as the one who was going to help. And he's making a point. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter nationality. It doesn't matter anything like that. If someone needs help and you have the means and the knowledge to do so, do it. It's just that simple. Could be just a spur of the moment thing. You see somebody that needs something and you have it in your possession, hand it to them and then continue on. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be life-changing or anything on that order. Somebody needs help, help them. That's it. That's the end of it. And that's the message that Jesus was trying to make, or trying to give this lawyer. If you see someone that needs help, help them. And then he asks him, he says, which one of these three, the three that saw this, person that was laying in the ditch, been robbed? Which one of them do you think was the neighbor? And of course, the lawyer said, he that showed mercy to him. That must have been awful hard to say, considering the feelings. But yet it was inevitable. I mean, you couldn't escape it. You could not escape the fact that the one you hated was the one that helped. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. That must have been an awful bitter pill for him to swallow. It would have been an awful bitter pill for us to swallow at times. The message that is in this text is the glory of God, what Jesus has done, that we are indeed blessed because we believe and trust and we do according to what Christ has ordered us or has instructed us to do. And all glory is to be given to God because he deserves it. He deserves it because he indeed loved us so much. And as I said in the story of Jesus, and why did he come to me? Because he loved me. Why? I don't know. But he did. And it's the same as we have read here. God loved that Samaritan. God loved that person who had fallen among the thieves. God loved the thief. He does not put up any kind of roadblocks and say, okay, I'm going to love him, but I'm not going to love that one. That's something we would do as humans. But God doesn't do that. He loves completely and totally and continues to call. And it is because of that that we continue to walk on this road of faith. It's because of that that we continue to do according to what he would have us to do. Because he loves us. In Jesus' name, amen.